Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive, a message on a broadcast entitled Jesus Word to Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I'll pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I do my best, and the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you have comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over there, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the blessed word of truth. And dear Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for blessing us to petition you today that your spirit will be with us as we take this journey into this lesson this day. Father, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you, because, dear Lord, you are worthy to be praised and be glorified. So, Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity you've given. And, Lord, we will not squander this opportunity as we come together to embrace your word and embrace the truth. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on part three of changes to the Book of Commandments, part three. And once again, I want to reiterate to you guys that if you want a copy of the book Commandments, I want to give you this information here. The Book of Commandments, it calls $6. I don't know if I gave the wrong price the other day. I'm kind of thinking, but anyhow, the Book of Commandments is $6. You can write the Church of Christ with the Eliza message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That is the Church of Christ, the Eliza message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Or you can call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't get no one of that number, area code 816-252-2343. That's area code 816-252-43. The fax number is area code 816-252-0143. Now, today, as I said, we're looking at part three concerning the changes to the Book of Commandments. It was a book of specific commands and revelations that the Lord had given to Joseph Smith that was not just for him, but it was even for others that was in the church at that time, like his wife Emma, the brothers that were with him, like Brother Oliver Cowdery, Martin Harris, you name it. So it was specific commandments and revelations that were given. And as I share with you guys, that been reported that too, that they were, Joseph Smith and company was in the act of printing off these Book of Commandments when the printing press was destroyed by a mob, and they, some of the manuscripts and stuff was destroyed. And so when they went back to, you know, print, I guess, whatever they had, and then they started adding, quote, revelations to the revelations that God had given. And the thing about that, too, is that especially these added revelations given, was to suit what they personally wanted to believe in. And they even changed some of the commandments or revelation that God had given them to suit their need. Okay. Now, before I go any further, I've stated before, and I say this again, perhaps to some of you who may be first-time listeners, this is part of a series, and Blog Talk Radio does record our past broadcasts. So on this page, you can go back to listen to past broadcasts. And I encourage people to do that, to listen to a whole part of the series and not come in the middle or the end, because sometimes it's hard to grasp what the overall subject is being spoken of. But I want to say this, and I want to reiterate this with as much humility as I can give, and to be totally honest with you. I know there's some of you that listen to me do these broadcasts concerning the Mormons may have a fix in your mind that, hey, you're just attacking them. You hate them. I don't hate them. I love them with the love of God. I'm not, quote, in a sense, in the way of attacking them. Then you may say, well, what is it you call yourself doing? Why is you speaking so much on it? Well, first of all, as you know, with the broadcasts that I do, they're not the only thing. That's not the only thing that I've spoken on and came with the word of God on. But they are involved in it. Now, you say, why? Because here's why. We come to this broadcast. We come on this broadcast to you guys far and near that are listening. And we're talking to you as we've been instructed by the Lord to tell you about this work called the work of restitution, restoration, the last day. Now, by you guys listening to us and knowing the name of the church that we are affiliated with or we're in, I know that some of you, and I know not all of you, I'm just going to be honest, but some of you who love truth, want truth, and you're going to seek and see how legit are these people are that's coming on this broadcast. Are they for real? Are they fake? And I know that when some of you go to investigate and searching, you're going to come up with two things that's going to throw up to you an automatic red flag. And some of you, it will cause to cast a big first-time judgment of these people ain't fake. They're ain't real. They're fake. They're not of God because of what you guys already know. What I mean is that when you look up the Church of Christ Elijah message, you're going to see two things that's going to draw a red flag. Number one, you're going to see the name Joseph Smith in connection. And I know that some of you all that do your studies and research, you have heard about Joseph Smith. And basically, to be honest with you, I know that what you've heard about him has all been the negative. Okay? In fact, I'm willing to guarantee you that way more negative about him is heard than the positive. I'm willing to guarantee you that. Now, the second thing that would throw up a red flag is that when you go on, I think, a couple sites, you would see the Church of Christ with Elijah message connected to the Latter-day Saints. And you would see, like, I think on this Wikipedia, it says that we are a branch of the Latter-day Saints. Well, that is false, okay? But once again, to some of you, it would throw up a red flag and you'll go, oh, no. And some of you out of that is going to instantly cast your first-time judgment and say, hey, I'm going to quit listening to these people because I know Mormonism is not of God and all that. Basically, you're going to say that. Now, I want to go on to say this. If it was me, to be honest with you, and I was in y'all's shoes, hey, if I didn't know what I know, I would do the same thing, okay? I would do the same thing. I hear this man and the Mormonism and all this out of here. Now, and I would instantly do like me and you. If I didn't know, by like many of y'all, if I didn't know what I know, I would constantly cut this off too. So that's one of the reasons why you're going to hear me, you have heard me, and possibly even in the future, speak more concerning against the teachings of Mormonism and dealing with Mormonism and why it's not of God. Okay, now, another reason why you hear me speak so much of it, and understand this, this is not saying that everything that I will be doing and the broadcasts, you can look at all past broadcasts as evidence that everything I'm doing is talking about the Mormons or Mormonism, because it ain't. But the reason why you hear me speak so much on it and against the teachers and things like that is because we're talking to you guys about this great work of the Lord Jesus Christ called the work of restitution and restoration. Now, once again, if you were to go up on your research and start researching this, who you would see connected to it? Obviously, Joseph Smith. And what is Joseph Smith known among many of you for negatively doing? Starting Mormonism. So anything that's connected, anything that's ungodly, that has tried to connect itself to that which is godly, not only me, but all us as other Christians, it's our duty to expose this thing, okay? It's some of us as Christians, it amazes me. Some of us as Christians know this, but we want to keep our mouth shut and we want to talk about, well, we better not say nothing because, you know, that ain't love. And you know, we don't talk about other churches. And you end up, wait a minute. So how many of you found something that is evil, ungodly, and all that connected to you is not going to open your mouth? Now, mind you, I know there's some people that won't do that. Some people just sit there and let anything run over them, okay? But I'm talking about those of you, honestly. Let's say of the few of you that really will speak up, what would you do? If someone of your relatives walk up in your yard and start smoking crack and drugs, and people driving by seeing this in the yard at your house, okay, and then it's being told that this person was living with you, and the people know how this person is. Now you're confronted with it, and you're supposed to be a man or a woman of God. You mean to tell me you're going to stay quiet and not say nothing? People are approaching you. Souls are approaching you. Now, you're supposed to be a man or woman of God. And they're saying, hey, we didn't know that you was okay with smoking drugs or crack or having drug addicts staying with you and living with you who's on drugs and selling drugs from your house. You mean to tell me you just going to sit there quiet and walk away, right? No. No. You're going to say, hey, wait a minute. I'm not into drugs or smoking drugs, and I don't condone that. And many of you will go to explain, like, if they saw someone come in your yard, what happened? You're not going to tell me you're just going to sit there and not say nothing. Like I said, there are some that will do that now. I've seen it. If some of them, they won't open their mouth, and they would just let evil run all over them. They will let evil be successful, and then they're wondering at times, why won't people listen to me? Why? Because, listen, you ain't showing your stance. Not only in what you say, but in what you do against evil. And so it amazes me with some of us as Christians in the church, we won't speak up on this matter concerning the Mormonism. Because if you see anything that's going to be connected to this work of restitution or restoration or try to connect yourself, it's dead of Mormonism. Because you hear the Mormons, when they talk about what? We're the restored church. We're to restore this. We're to restore that. And then you guys are listening to us come on the broadcast talking to you about the work of restitution and restoration. Now tell me, what would you think? Okay. Well, what would you think? You'd say, hey, I think these two together, because both of them talking the same thing. You know, they got to be together. Well, but if we don't call out and renounce the connection between that which is ungodly, trying to connect yourself to that which is godly. Wow. You know, the Lord said in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, if a man in his wickedness and you don't warn him, you know, at least try to warn him. God has said try to make him stop or warn him. His blood's going to be required at your hand. So, you know, this is why I look at it too. There are souls, you guys are souls, that are listening to this message. You're listening to us proclaim to you the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of restitution and restoration in these last days, okay? You are a precious soul, and you're too precious for us to just let anything come in and deter you down the dark path, okay? That's if we got love for you. Now, we ain't got no love for you, we wouldn't even care, okay? But we got love for you. We have the love of God. So this is why you guys will hear this. And so, like I said, in future broadcasts and all that, don't be surprised, okay? But once again, in future broadcasts, all the broadcasts is not going to be, quote, about the Mormons and things like that. We don't get down like that. But the reason why, once again, you hear me talk about this a lot, dealing with them and their teachings and what they're doing, is because they're trying to connect themselves to that which is of God, which is the work of restitution and restoration, okay? So it's not a hate message against them. It's not a message that I hate them, can't stand them. No, I got the love of God for them. And my thing is, I pray that they receive the truth, okay? But at the other end, I can't let you guys be deceived by their teaching and misleading, because some of you, whether you want to admit it or not, has accepted others telling you that Mormonism is Christianity. And it's not. It ain't Christianity. But some of you have accepted that. So what I'm here to is to give you the truth, the word, and tell you, say, hey, now you ask Jesus. Brother Nate, Brother Lee, the sisters, ain't none of us come on this broadcast to try to force you to accept what we're giving to you. None of us have done that. So I wanted to say that opening up this part three today. And once again, talking about the changes, and when you can say additions done concerning the specific revelation and commandments that God had given to Joseph Smith, and how that there were some changes and honestly, too, some additions that was not of God. Now, I want to give this scripture from the Bible here, and I want to go into a particular part today, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, opening with a scripture here. Once again, verse 1 and 2, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. The word of God says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." So Moses is testifying to you guys the importance of whatever command God gives, even when he gives it through someone else, it is not to be added to nor take away. In fact, even Moses himself, even though the command was coming through him to the people, even Moses himself did not have the authority to add or diminish. You understand that? You know, like I said, and I've been saying to you guys that whatever God gives, give it like he gave it. Okay? Don't add. Don't talk about, well, we want to correct grammar. Don't do that. Don't add or take away and say, well, this don't sound right. We need to put these other words to make it sound like what it's supposed to say. Don't do that. And see, that's one of the pitfalls of Mormonism and of Joseph Smith, because they felt, and I do mean felt, because they didn't get no authority from God. So they felt the knack to, quote, do some correcting and do some adding, which that was not authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said it to you guys before, and I say it again, I see why they felt such a way. Because once again, when you believe or teaches that if anyone come through Mormonism and through your temple, that they have a chance to achieve godhood or become a god, yes, you're going to feel like, hey, I can correct even that which God sent. Because what you thinking in your mind that you're going to be a god like God. So yeah, your pride, which, wow. What you got to understand, that thinking is on the same lines of what Lucifer was thinking. When Isaiah told us that Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. I would exalt my throne. You're going to do some stuff. So you're going to be like God. So now you got the Mormons taking on the same kind of thinking that you can reach Godhood, just like who? Lucifer took on that thinking. Okay? So when you got that kind of thinking, well, of course, you're going to think that, hey, anything that, and here's the thing about it, what makes it worse? They would lay claim that, quote, this or that came from the Lord. In other words, when they speak about Joseph Smith and the commandments and revelations he got, they'll tell you, well, he got this from the Lord. So if you're admitting that, quote, revelations and commandments specifically came from the Lord through Joseph Smith, then once again, what gives you the knack of changing or adding? And Moses told you here, he let you know, don't do that. He said that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God. So what Moses is saying is that if you add to what God gives or take away, you will not completely keep God's commandment. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to deviate you from what God really wants you to do. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why Moses said, don't do that. Okay? Don't fool. Yet do it as God gave it. Give it to me to give it. You do it. Okay? And once again, even though Moses was in the ministry, was a prophet of the Lord, and whom the Lord was using to give this thing, even Moses himself did not have the authority to add or diminish. So that take care of the ministry. So to those of you in the ministry that's listening, let me give you this personal message. If God has given you something to give to people, give it as he had gave it to you. Do not start sitting there thinking, saying, well, I know he said this, but, man, that grammar ain't going to come out right. Or I know he said that, man, you know, that didn't sound right. I need to add or take some of the words out to get the people to understand what he really means. Don't do it. Give it as he gave it unto you. It is extremely dangerous for you to do such a thing as adding or taking away. You understand that? You understand what I'm saying? And so with the Mormons, their chest is high in the air and their nose is up because they feel like we got the right to add or take away. Contradictory to what the Lord told you not to do, okay? Contradictory. So it is dangerous to do such a thing. Now, I want to, for a minute here on this part three, on this site titled Overview of Changes to the Revelations in the Doctrine and Covenants, because that's what they did when they went to really going back to print it after they said the printing press was destroyed. They changed the name from the Book of Commandments to the Doctrine and Covenants. And on this site here, Overview of Changes to the Revelation and Doctrine of Covenants, I want to read something to you here. And this is under the title, The Priesthood Restoration, which is spoken of in this Doctrine of Covenants. And what I want to do is read to you originally what it said, for God gave in the Book of Commandments, okay, versus what the Mormons changed and said, amen, from the original Book of Commandments to what they changed it to when they made it out to be Doctrine and Covenants. Now, and this thing is very important that we understand the wording. Because, see, one of the things that you will understand about when the Mormons make changes, or if anyone make changes, is always going to deal with the wording. Not just what they say, but if it's written down and they want to make a change, the wording is going to be changed. Okay. And one thing about it, if we want to change a meaning of something that was originally said to make it say something else, what do you mess with? The words. Okay? You mess with the words. Okay? So I want to get into reading to you one change, and especially of this change, we can see why the center point is what? Pride. And the center point was also in dealing with elevating one man. Okay? Elevating one man. When you're elevating one man, and you know, we know that there are leadership that God appoint in the church, okay? But the leadership is only to go so far. Leadership is not for us to put all our 100% trust in them, you know, over God. And putting that all into their hands where they dictating everything. I'll give you an example right quick of what I mean. When we was in high school, just before I got saved, and I just want to give you kind of more of a natural example of what I mean about when you have a leader or appoint a leader or have a leader, how you putting everything in him and all he making all the play, all the calling, and then there's no input from all to collaborate, then where he will make a decision. When you just putting everything in his hands, you're really putting him in a place that, you know, and not a good place, and also helping him more in his pride. When we was in high school, like I told, share with you guys before, I was into music. I was in, quote, two groups. I was in a slow song group and in a rap group. And I remember we had come together in a sense to appoint one guy to be the leader of the group. And the problem with that is that we put all in his hands to make all calls concerning what songs we were going to do whenever we came to a show. And the guy, he started kind of getting out of the way with his calling of, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. And it was making people upset, especially when he was telling us to let's do songs at a show right before a show that we really didn't practice on. Well, that was causing people to be upset. And then was, you know, telling them let's do songs where, let's say, someone else was left out of it. You know, maybe there was a song like, say, for example, in the rap group we had, it was, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it were 5 or 6 of us in the rap group alone. And there were songs that was written or kind of since done that everybody was not on that song together, if you get what I'm saying. And so when a show is getting ready to happen and you say, oh, we're going to do this song, and this song that you're talking about, only 2 or 3 of us is on the song out of the 6, well, you know, the other 3 is going to start feeling funny. Like, you'd have left me out. And we had and what the climax was, we had what they call a talent show coming up one night. And this particular leader made this call, let's do this song. And everybody got upset because this is close time to doing the show now. In fact, I don't know, was it the very day? I think it was the very day we had to do the show, that which is that night. And so people were upset because it was songs that, you know, we hadn't fully, you know, completed as gotten down pat. And then there were songs that it didn't include everybody. And then there was a song where that, let's say one person come to find out, I don't know if they didn't have enough to fill the talent show. And so instead of us, you know, going to fully as a group to extend it out, you had one man doing a rap song that he had personally, even though I don't think he was completely ready to do it, but you had him to do it. He's upset. You know, so it was a whole bunch of controversy. And when I look at it to this day, and not to be bringing up past things, but I'm giving you an example, you know, in one sense, it's good to have a type of leadership, but you got to watch all that you place in the hands of that leadership. And that's what we messed up at. Instead of, you know, and plus, we all young, we high schoolers, okay?
And the guy we put the hand in leadership to was in our classroom. He's a high schooler. So we weren't thinking of that hey, we're immature. All of us is immature ourselves. And so to place that much responsibility in the hands of one person who is immature, well, what do you expect? Okay, and that's what happened. And when I look back at it, you know, the day that, you know, hey, it was our immaturity. And I'm going to tell you something. After that, I started getting somewhat a little bit lifted up in pride, too, because on that last night, we broke up from the group. The group just broke up. And to tell you the truth, I don't think we were ever the same. I think we did some things together, but I don't think we was ever the same as a group, okay, because everybody was broken out, spread out, going to, you know, and I started thinking about, hey, I can break off and branch off and do my own thing, and I started doing this and all this stuff. But anyhow, to make the point is this, I'm saying that when you have to be very careful how much you fall into a, quote, leader, because you can lift them up to a place where they don't need to be. Now, I say all this to say this, is this is what I want to read to you guys about a change that they did concerning what God had originally given at this time, and the change they did when they changed from, quote, being the Book of Commandments to the Doctrine of Covenants, okay? And I want to read to you the original, what God said, okay? In from the Book of Commandments, it says, the Articles and Covenants of the Church of Christ given in Fayette, New York, June 1830, okay? Now, this is what I want to read to you. It says, I'm going to read, and it's got so many verses, but I want to read the first four verses. The key is going to be the last two verses. But it says, the rise of the Church of Christ in these last days, being 1,830 years since the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the flesh, it being regularly organized and established, agreeable to the laws of our country, by the will and commandments of God in the fourth month and on the sixth day of the month, which is called April, which commands were given to Joseph, who was called of God and ordained, now listen to this, an apostle of Jesus Christ, an elder of this church, and also to Oliver, that's Oliver Cowdery, who was called of God, get this, an apostle of Jesus Christ, an elder of this church, and ordained under his hand. Now, do you hear that? So both Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery was called of the Lord, yes, to be apostle. Joseph Smith was also a prophet, but he also was called of God as an apostle of Jesus Christ, but get this, an elder in the church, okay? Now, when they came up with their book of the, when they changed it and had made all these changes, and now it's called the Doctrine and Covenants, I think this is Doctrine and Covenants number 20. I don't know if that's their 20th chapter, their 20th verse, but I want to read to you what they changed it over to. And they said concerning Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. It says, which commandments were given to Joseph Smith Jr., who was called of God and ordained an apostle of Jesus Christ, just like what it said in the Book of Commandments, but listen to this last part, to be the first elder of this church. Now, originally in the Book of Commandments here, it didn't say to be, it just said that he would be an elder of this church and ordained under his hand, okay? And now, I want to read to you what they said about Elder Oliver Cowdery. It said, and to Oliver Cowdery, who was also called of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, just like I said in the Book of Commandments, where he said, to be the second elder of this church and ordained under his hand. Now, in the Book of Commandments, it said, and also to Oliver, who was called of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, an elder of this church. It didn't say second elder. Now, some of you may say, well, man, that don't mean nothing. Yeah, it do. Because, see, when you look, see, you have to examine all things of how they looked at Joseph Smith and how Joseph Smith in his pride starts seeing concerning himself, okay? Now, hallelujah. They definitely put it and went ahead and changed it to second elder, first elder, second elder. But in the Book of Commandments, they just said an elder of this church, okay, to both of them, okay, which is verses 3 and 4 in chapter 24 of the Book of Commandments. But then when they went and wrote it over in Doctrine and Covenants, they went ahead and put first elder and then put second elder, okay? Now, once again, to some of you, you may say it don't mean nothing, okay? But when you look at the placing of the word first and second, now, it goes on to say in the Book of Commandments, for after that, it truly will manifest unto this first elder that he had received a remission of his sins. He was a tangle again in the vanities of this world. But after truly repenting, God ministered to him by a holy angel whose countenance was alighting and whose garments were pure and white above all whiteness, and gave unto him commandments which inspired him from on high, and gave unto his, to him power by the means which were before prepared that he should translate a book. Okay, talking about Joseph Smith. But in the words before that, it just called them elders. But then they went ahead and changed it. The words were given and said that first elder and second elder. Okay, and it didn't put numbers like that in there besides saying that Joseph Smith later on in, you know, the verses 6 behind it spoke to him as a first elder, but it didn't say, and I hope that you understand what I'm saying, the word is before that, there was not put a first and second elder at first when it talks about Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. Okay, it just said they was elders of the church. But in their changing of Doctrine and Covenants, okay, in their changing in there, they put first elder and second elder in the spot where it didn't mention first or second elder. It just said that they were elders in the church. Okay. And you have to be careful of the wording because, like I said, the people in the Joseph Smith as well and the people in the church really begin to start looking at Joseph Smith more highly than what he should have been. Okay. And you have to be very careful of that because even this day, you have the Mormons they're not going to say anything negative about Joseph Smith. I would be very shocked if they did. I really would. Because Joseph Smith is really looked at as a god. Okay? Joseph Smith and Brigham Young especially, they're not going to say nothing about them. Okay? Not negative. Too much. No. Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer, who stood up to Joseph when he got off balance. And see, that's the other thing about, you know, them really, even though it said first elder verses after these two verses, when it was talking about Joseph Smith, you have to be very watchful in how that, in the changing of the wording of what it originally said, how they're trying to put exaltation on Joseph Smith, okay? And I'm talking about for the original word, okay, of what was said. Because of their place, of placing where they placed Joseph Smith. And like I said, the people had so high regards about him, so over the top, overboard regards about him, that for you, me, or anybody else, or even like the brothers Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer to say anything against Joseph being wrong, you know, you committed high treason because of what they thought. And that's why I said the example I gave you earlier is that you have to be careful how much you put into a person than what they're supposed to have. And what I mean is that, you know, there's leadership in just about mostly anything, but you got to, and God is the one that started organization, but you got to be careful how much you put in your leader. I mean, many of you have pastors, okay? And pastors is the leaders, but you're not called to put all your trust in them. You're not called for them. You know, when you do that, you begin to put them as God, okay? And there are some people to this day that if you were a fly on the wall, their pastors rule their lives, okay? Some of that is because you got some are pastors that are aggressive, that try to take over people. And then you got others that they just so passive that they just, whatever the pastor say, they just give everything over to them, okay? So you do have those kind of people. And so those kind of people, like if you or me spoke up and said, hey, that pastor, what he told you were wrong, they would flip and do a 360 on you, okay? Which that's what the people in Rising Up was against, the brothers who really rose up and spoke against what Joseph Smith was, when he was bringing forth that which was not of God, and they spoke against him. You can imagine what they faced in the church. Okay, you can imagine that. Okay, so you can see where, you know, that created a problem that the people had with the brothers when they spoke up and said, hey, what Joseph bringing is not of God. It ain't of God. That's not of God, period, man. Amen. And the way Joseph was thinking in his pride, because there was times that when it came to translating the record of Nephi and using the stone, the seer stone, Joseph Smith couldn't translate. And hopefully at another time we'll talk about that a little bit more, as David Whitmer gave an account on that. Joseph Smith couldn't translate because when he had his mind on the things of this world or in the pride, he couldn't translate. So he had to walk away from the hat and the stone and all that and go off and pray and humble himself to God before he can come back and be used of the Lord to translation. So that's what he had to do, okay? But see, and this is why as people of God, you have to be careful when you're being used of God. You have to be watchful of people elevating you to a place that you shouldn't be, because that can easily happen. And you have to watch yourself from receiving that kind of elevation, okay? Because sometimes people can see the Lord working in you, and they will put you in a place where God didn't put you. You know, I listen to a lot of the modern day, quote, big time televangelists, and when they were getting ready to do a conference on TV, have you ever listened to how the guys that come before them announcing, how all these big time adjective words they put about them? They call them the dynamic, the powerful, the this and that. Man, what is that? Just introduce me. You know, if I'm coming and getting ready to speak, just say, hey, I know this brother. I love the brother. Thank God for this brother, Brother Nathaniel Hunt. Don't get up there and say the dynamic, the extraordinary, the this and that. Please, like the late Brother Clark would say, you're killing me, okay? Well, you're killing you how, Brother Clark? All this stuff, this pride, this praise is killing me. Okay, and see, some people think they actually helping people out when they do that, but actually you hurting them, because you're putting them in a state of pride, and if they already in the pride, you ain't doing nothing but feeding that pride. Okay, so I have heard people doing that. Okay, and then too, with this thing about the ministry, Joseph Smith became so lifted in pride that he started making up these offices in the church that was not of God, okay? Because he's dwelling on, I'm the first, you know? And you had people in the church supporting him doing that. But see, everybody didn't support him, okay? Brother David Whitmer, Oliver Cowdery, they didn't support the ungodly things that, you know, he brought up that was not of God and making up these new offices in the church. Okay? Amen. And so you want to, you know, because like I said, the first, in the written right, it proclaimed them as being elders, Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery, okay? And in that first wording, but they, when they changed it, they went ahead and put first and second in there. Joseph Smith the first, Oliver Cowdery the second, okay? Which, a verse down there, it does go on to say that Joseph Smith was the first elder. But what I'm saying is that the first couple of verses above that, they were just referred to as elders, okay? That same sentence of them verses, and they put first and second in there, where the original sentence didn't have a first or a second, okay? It just said it recognized them as elders, okay? Both of them as elders, okay? Amen. You know, both of them carried the authority as an elder, and both of them was called an apostle, okay? Called to the apostleship, okay? It didn't say, like, for example, it didn't say, which commandments were given to Joseph, who was called of God and ordained the first apostle of Jesus Christ, and then said, and also to Oliver, who was called of God and second apostle of Jesus Christ. It didn't say that, okay? So I say that to say this, that you have to be watchful of the wording, you know, of what they was doing, okay? You have to be watchful of that. And them going in, and, okay, we're going to change this. It'd be better to be said of that, you know, and all that. I you know, if God had given me revelation, and let's say I wrote it down and it got destroyed, I'd rather try to be watchful. If I'm trying to tell it and it's hard to remember, I think it's best for you to just not say it until God bring back to your remembrance what he really said, okay? Instead of you just coming up, adding words and adding this and adding that and subtracting, you don't want to do that, okay? And see, based on this thing with Joseph Smith and Pryor, like I said, he began to set up offices in the churches, in a church that was not of God. And, you know, you have other churches who claim to be of God doing the same stuff. They have come up with different offices and different that in the church because they all feel like, hey, we are our own separate church. We can do whatever. You know, and that's another thing that's going on wrong with Christianity. And this is the reason why the Lord is restoring, doing the work of restitution and restoration to restore the church back to where he originally set it up, that all will be on the same plane, that all will be of the same mind, coming set up on the same thing that Christ set up. Not you got this church said, well, we do our own thing, and other ones said, well, we do our own thing, and That's separation, okay? The center core foundation is what we all should be standing on. I come as Christians. But see, the sad thing about that is that we're not all standing on that center foundation. You got some of them don't think that you need to stand on certain, you know, for example, Hebrews 6, mentions 6, is and if you take the baptism and divide it up, it's really 7, but Hebrews speaks on that. Well, you got some people, one part of the foundation is repentance for dead works. Well, you got some ministers think that you don't need to preach on repentance. You don't need to tell people about repent. You don't need to stand on repent. You got some churches that say you don't have to repent anymore since you got saved. You believe that? Because you guys, some of them believe in that once saved, always saved. So what would you need to repent for? So, like I told you, everyone that's claiming to be of the Lord is not merely on a center core of foundation. Some of them think there's certain parts you don't have to keep. They're not founded on it. Others think that there's other parts you have to keep, and they just say there's certain other parts you ain't got to keep. So what the Lord is doing in this work of restitution, restoration, He's causing all to come together to be one. That's what he's doing in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Christ, that's what he's doing. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of thy precious son, Jesus Christ, for this day that you made and created. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to do, because, Lord, you're worthy to be praised and to be glorified. So, Lord, we lift you up. We magnify you. We praise you, dear God, in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, tonight at 7 p.m., we have another broadcast, Poor Gospel Message with Brother Eddie Lee, at 7 p.m. once again. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive, a message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.